This piece was brought to you by the International Culinary Center, culinarycenter.com, heritageradionetwork.org.
This is the news.
Ever since its launch in 1900, the Michelin Guide is still recognized by many as the go-to source for weary and food-obsessed travelers, hungry for the restaurants that should be on their global itinerary. Initially, the guide focused on European locations, but eventually printed a New York City guide in 2005. It just revealed its 2015 list of best restaurants in New York City. What makes this list especially interesting and groundbreaking to those who follow the food world is that several of the 74 restaurants on the list, including Blanca, Delaware and Hudson, Lavara, and Take Root, are located in Brooklyn. Other New York City boroughs, specifically the Queens-based M. Wells Steakhouse, Pock Pock, and Zab Ali, also got a shout-out. While the story of Brooklyn and Queens as hotbeds of culinary creativity isn't news to New Yorkers, what is that Michelin recognized the environs of Manhattan in such a large, relatively speaking way. While the Michelin Guide's initial mission was to supply European road warriors with a place to rest and grab a bite, it began expanding its reach in early 2000. The brand went global and began covering such locations as Asia as well as the U.S. It followed suit in terms of its culinary perspective, shifting its list from a more French-inclined palate to include a wider variety of cuisines. The New York City Michelin Guide is a good example of the growing, more open, diverse, and democratic approach to food, and in turn, what constitutes good taste. To get more insight into what's driving the changes on the list and what it says about the impact of a global food culture, on the phone we have Priscilla Parkhurst Ferguson, sociologist at Columbia University and author of the just-out Word of Mouth, What We Talk About When We Talk About Food, as well as Accounting for Taste, the Triumph of French Cuisine. Priscilla, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Nancy.
So, Priscilla, tell us, what's going on here with the Michelin Guide, with this latest version?
Well, you know, Michelin is a very smart marketing outfit. They follow trends, but they're also such a big force that they, in fact, make trends. And as you noted, the fact of coming to the U.S. Is bound to make them use different criteria. In the first couple of years, there were a number of complaints about the things that they had left out. They made a big point of having American inspectors, not just the French. Of course, they do not reveal the names, but enlarging their system of inspection, recruiting people who are more in tune with a range of cuisines and culinary preparations beyond the, quote, normal, unquote, French.
So do you think that they are this was part of a recognition, and they were also recognizing that perhaps France was not maybe the epicenter of what constitutes good taste?
Well, I think France is the epicenter of what constitutes good taste is a great myth. It's one the French work at keeping up. After all, tourism is an extraordinarily important part of their economy, like every other economy. But there is certainly the recognition that there is wonderful stuff out there all over the place. That they recognize this, what I call culinary multiculturalism in the U.S., it's a lot easier for them to do that here than it is in France. You really have to probably look at the French guide to see how much they have changed. And I would imagine that there's less of an outreach there than there is here, partly because the patterns of immigration are so very, very different.
So just one last question. Does Michelin still matter?
Yes, Michelin still matters. It is, as you said in the beginning, still the go-to guide. I mean, it's not the only guide, but it's a reliable one. They've added, especially for the New York edition, they've added photographs and they've added more, more chatty write-ups and so forth. So they've moved from the sort of highly codified presentation that only a real habitué would know what's going on, what all those symbols mean, to a more discursive presentation. So they're reaching out to a broader audience. And very few people, I would imagine, would look at only the Michelin. You look at the Michelin for this, you look at the Zagat's for that. I look at Zagat's to make sure for the noise level. If it says noise, I don't don't go there. And a variety of other things. What is, of course, interesting is to see how much these overlap. I mean, per se, and others, you know, they're on all the lists. So some things have changed. What's different now is that there's more competition from different kinds of food, and that's exactly what you are talking about with the move to Brooklyn, Queens, so on.
Indeed. All right. Well, Priscilla Ferguson, thanks so much for joining us. This is Nancy Gagliardi for Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.